Beloved, we celebrated a few weeks ago the Feast of Christmas. We reflected upon our Lord's infancy, His birth at Bethlehem. We celebrated the Feast of the Holy Name. And then last Sunday we celebrated the Epiphany of our Lord. And now we continue, you might say, chronologically in the life of our Lord. In the next gospel that we find after the visit of the Magi and the flight into Egypt, we find the incident related at the time when our Lord was 12 years old of the journey of our Lord with His parents to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Pasch. And when they were returning from Jerusalem, after having come a day's journey, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph found that our Lord was not in their company. And so, being filled with anxiety, they returned to Jerusalem searching Him, and finally on the third day, they found Him in the temple, sitting among the doctors, among the learned men, teaching them, listening to them, asking them questions, and they were amazed at His wisdom and His answers. There have been many commentaries on this gospel. There are many things we can learn from our Lord, but perhaps the greatest lesson is that of obedience. We reflect upon the fact that our divine Lord, at the tender age of 12, was capable of giving brilliant sermons, of instructing the doctors, and could have gone forth even on His public life and begun to work miracles and to teach. But it is what He did not do that is the lesson. He did not go into the public life at the age of 12. Rather, He returned to Jerusalem, rather to Nazareth, excuse me, to the house at Nazareth, and we are told in the gospel, He was subject to them. He returned with Mary and Joseph, and He was subject to them. Not for a few more years, but for 18 more years, until the age of 30, when He began His public life. And this is the single event in the life of our Lord from His infancy up until His public life, till His baptism by St. John the Baptist, that is narrated in the gospel. The only thing that we know of that entire span of 30 years. As though Holy Mother Church, Almighty God, by that event alone, wishes to teach us the significance of it, and the significance of passing over in silence everything else in our Lord's hidden life, other than simply to say that He returned to Jerusalem and He was subject to them. Our Lord wished to show us, by subjecting Himself to our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, the importance of family life. The family was instituted by God Himself in the Garden of Paradise. We read in Genesis that God created Adam, and then He created Eve, and He gave her to Adam as His wife. God instituted marriage. And then He gave them the command to go forth and multiply and fill the earth. So God Himself is the author of the family. And we know the value, the importance of the family. The family is the nursery of virtue, the school of Christian doctrine for the children to learn their faith, to grow up practicing virtue, developing good habits. The family is, every family is, as it were, a church. Every home is like a church, a place where God dwells in a Christian family. And perhaps we could have no better understanding of the importance of the family in the eyes of God than to listen to the enemies of God. There was a Freemason, a 32nd degree Freemason, who approached Father Mateo one day, the great apostle of the enthronement, and he said to him, "I was away from the church for many years in Masonry until my recent conversion." And he said, "We were taught in Masonry, leave the churches to the priests and the seminaries and the convents, go to the home, go into the family." He said, "We were taught to undermine the family, to bring in our influence into the home, and to try to win over the family. Because if we could do that, then we could win over society." interesting words from one who had been an enemy of God and of religion. And you can see here how much the devil values the family, how much the devil understands the importance and the value of the family. So on this Feast of the Holy Family, let us reflect upon the importance of the Christian family. And the family as a unit, just as the saying goes that a chain is as strong as its weakest link, the family will fulfill its role, and the members will be able to sanctify themselves to the degree that every member of the family fulfills his or her role. There is the father, who, after the model of Saint Joseph, is the head of the family, as Saint Joseph was of the Holy Family, and must lead his family to God. The father, of course, provides for the family, but he also has to make the important decisions. If there is a move to be made, a change that has to be made, an important decision to be made, that is the role of the father. He must lead his family in prayer. He must be the model of Catholic living. He must teach his children and lead them to God by word and example. The mother has our Blessed Mother for her model. Her role is a vital role, very important role of instructing the children in their faith. Because even though the father is also a teacher and has that role of teaching the faith to the children, it is the mother's lessons that will be the most lasting, the most far-reaching, the best remembered, because she is the one who is with the children all the time. It is her lessons, those little words here and there of virtue, and especially her example of prayer and love of God, that will draw the children to God, will lead them to God. The foundation that is laid in their tenderest years will be the lessons that they will carry with them for the rest of their lives. And so it is the mother that is the heart of the home, as it were, the homemaker, who makes the children love the home and want to come back, even when they are adults, to visit their family. The mother is like that anchor that holds the family together. And then the children, of course, have none other but our Lord Himself as their model. And in today's Gospel, we read that He was subject to them. What a mystery! God subject to His creatures. Why? Because He had established the family. He had established the order of the family, of authority. And He came into this world as a member of a family, and thereby would give us an example of the value of obedience. Children really have it very easy. If they obey, respect their parents, follow their advice, their life is really very easy. Certainly it is true, especially as children get older, it becomes more difficult to obey. Children become teenagers and they are beginning to become young adults. So they begin to develop their own views on things in life. They're an independent person, and there's nothing wrong with that. But insofar as directions given by their parents, they must obey, they must submit. They might not always agree that this is the best thing to do, but they say to themselves, I may have a different view of the matter, but this is the will of God for me right now, because my parents hold the place of God over me. And you see, that is the order that God established. And what a wonderful example of our Lord, that He obeyed His parents. He was subject to them until the age of 30. Children have thereby a wonderful example to imitate. And so you see, if every member of the family fulfills that particular role, then the family itself will be strong. The family itself will fulfill its role of leading all the members to Almighty God, to be strong in their faith, to save their souls. Now, of course, the world, the devil, seeks to undermine every single role. In our modern society, we see every role in the family attacked. We see the role of the father attacked and undermined, that the father is not capable of making those decisions, of leading the family, that he should not take upon himself that role of leadership. That role of the father is undermined and is ridiculed. And sometimes perhaps even fathers, parents in general, can begin to doubt themselves. We all are aware of our defects. We all are aware of our imperfections. And so maybe parents will be tempted to think, well, I'm unworthy. I'm not really a very good parent. And that thought can begin to work on them, and then they can neglect to make a correction when it is due because of that undermining of their role of authority by the world. What about the mother? Her role is undermined by that voice of the devil that would say, you're not doing anything important. Look, you're just in the home, raising your children. Who knows about it? Who cares? Why don't you go out and get a career, make a name for yourself? And some mothers even go so far as to look upon the raising of children as being burdensome, as being a dislikable task. And there are those parents who selfishly and sinfully put off having children, or sinfully avoid having children because they want to enjoy life, or they don't want to have the responsibility that God wishes to give them. So the role of the mother is very important, and women must not listen to the voice of the devil and the spirit of the world that would try to take them out of the home and let someone else raise their children, as though anyone could do a better job than the parents. And then, of course, the children. The role of children, of submitting to their parents, is undermined in our society by those voices from the world that would say, your parents don't understand you. They're too old. They're in a different generation. They don't know what you're going through. So just kind of shut them out of your life. Appeal to your friends, to your teachers in school, in a public school, to other people. But your parents don't understand. How clever is the devil? And we must not listen to his voice. Rather, we look to the gospel and we see Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, the Holy Family. And we must strive to imitate their examples. Now, granted, we will never perfectly do that. I will never be a perfect priest. You will never be a perfect parent. And your family will never be the perfect home. There is only one perfect family, and that is the Holy Family. But nevertheless, we must pray to the members of the Holy Family. We must strive to imitate them. We must always strive to work towards the ideal, even though we never reach the ideal. So on this Feast of the Holy Family, I ask you to reconsecrate your family to the Holy Family of Nazareth, to meditate on that example of our Lord especially. It says at the end of the Gospel that he returned to Nazareth and he advanced in wisdom and age and grace in the eyes of God and men. Now, children, imitating the example of our Lord, as they grow in stature, as they get older and they grow, may they also grow in virtue and in grace. This is something they must imitate with our Lord, not only to grow in age, but to mature spiritually as children of Holy Mother Church, to become better and better imitators of our Lord as they get older. And finally, let us not forget the lesson of St. Paul in today's epistle, which is very important for families. He says, put on as God's chosen ones a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive others. This can be the biggest enemy of the family. Not the outside influences, but selfishness. Our own individual fallen human nature. St. Paul here says, bear with one another, forgive one another. We all will have something to bear with from those with whom we live, because we all have a different personality, just as others have to put up with us and our idiosyncrasies and our personality. So we also have to put up with them. And you know the old saying that charity begins at home. And the importance of that saying and the significance of it is this, that our true self is apparent to those with whom we live. Those that we meet, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow workers, we put on a good front. We tend to hide certain foibles of our nature that we can't hide from those with whom we live all the time. And sometimes, sadly, individuals are more charitable, more sociable, more kind to outsiders than they are even to members of their own family. And so you see, the devil, using our fallen human nature, can cause us to allow and to develop rifts in the family, differences that tend to undermine the family and keep it from fulfilling its purpose. So remember those words of St. Paul: bear with one another and forgive one another. If other people have to put up with us, then why cannot we put up with their defects, their personality, their faults and failings? Selfishness is perhaps the greatest enemy of family tranquility, peace and concord in the home. Let us then pray to the Holy Family to help us, each of us, to fulfill our role. If every member of the family is trying to fulfill his or her role in imitation of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, then the family will be, as it were, the home will be a heaven on earth. Not perfect, but as good as possible in this world. A place of happiness, of love, of tranquility, and a place where virtue can be practiced, where the faith can be loved and learned, and where the members of the family can work out their salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.